Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and dorkforest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody, send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. Hi, Jackie Cation. Happy New Year, 2024. This is it. First episode of the new year. Is it though? I'm recording two tonight. I don't know. Whoever gets me their photo faster will be the first episode. And the other one will be the second episode. Whatever it is, it's still 2024. My name's Jackie Cation. You're listening to The Dork Forest. It's the 18th year of The Dork Forest. 18 years of something that makes me a small amount of money.
Wow.
And it's January, so feel free to donate. Last month, I asked you to send money to the food bank. Some of you sent it to me anyway, which meant that it went to the L.A. food bank, and I got all the good karma. And I thank you for that, too, because L.A. is full of people who could use lunch for several different reasons. Sometimes they need lunch because they're not eating for to be thin. And then other times, there's no food. So I'm still talking. I haven't introduced my guest. It's Kate Nienhauser. Hi, Kate Nienhauser. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. This looks blurry on when we're recording. It's crystal clear on the YouTubes when it goes up onto the world.
Gorgeous.
Your TikTok is Resist and Recover. It'll be in the Daily Bob, the notes, and I was like, will you do the Dork Forest? And you said, sure, I like these things. And then sent me a very long list, which I appreciate. I actually kind of want to start with a very basic question because it has been the holiday season.
Yeah.
And one of your dorkdoms is crafting.
Yeah.
Was it reflected in any way, shape, or form with the holidays? A Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, solstice. Did you make a moon? Did you throw bones at it? Did you do anything for the holidays craft-wise?
Actually, I did. I painted some ornaments.
Nice.
And one of them is SpongeBob, and the other one is Patrick Starr as a stripper. You know that? Do you know that image?
No, I don't. I am unfamiliar with Patrick Starr. I have known several strippers, of course. Who is Patrick Starr?
Well, it's Patrick from SpongeBob.
Last name is Starr because he's a starfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's like, I don't know if you've seen the meme, but there's an episode where Patrick dons fishnets and like boots. He's not actually a stripper, I don't think, in the episode.
He's just tricked out as the,
but
sure,
he looks like a stripper. And yeah, I painted those. That was the craftiest thing I did. Other than like my usual painting and that kind of
stuff,
non-holiday related.
non-holiday related crafts. Cross stitch.
Yeah, graffiti, I love to crochet.
Air balloons.
Crochet? Really?
Yeah, I love to crochet. I have a sweater that I crocheted that somehow the sleeves are just probably a foot and a half beyond what the sleeve should be.
Well, then you can roll them back. Because crochet, now if I, do you use regular yarn for that? Or is that twine? Is it hemp? What are we looking at?
You know, I have a whole sweater of twine and it's so comfortable. No, yeah, just regular yarn.
Okay, regular. Go to bed. All I remember is I think my sister learned to crochet when we were like 12 or 13 and she made like a thing to hang a pot.
Oh, that's a cute idea. Yeah, like a little macrame type.
Wait a minute.
Lanter.
She macrameed. She did not crochet.
But you know what? It would work for crochet. Crochet is the one with one hook needle and knitting is the one with two.
Okay. And what about macrame? Do we know? Do you know? I don't.
Macrame, I think, is just weaving. I think it's
okay,
like.
Okay. That's just hands. That's using phalanges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's just like a looming, a weave.
Okay. So wait. So crochet is one needle.
Yeah.
Just one. So what do you do with the other one? Are you holding the ball?
No, you're holding the string. You should have just had me do this if I had done this in that original room, I would have gotten props. Do people usually get props on this?
Well, sometimes there's props, but it not everybody listens to the program on YouTube
and watches
the video. So
true.
You'll have to do it as with the video description anyway.
Yeah.
You'll have to turn the...
You'll have to.
A blind friend of mine called it blind whispering. And I don't know if you've ever watched a TV show where they have the video description on, but I tried to do a joke about it. First of all, when a sighted person calls it blind whispering, it feels less positive. When a blind person calls it blind whispering, they get away with it because they're blind. But nobody wants to hear my joke about it because I wear glasses. So. Tell me about crocheting, though. Describe what it is.
I want to hear the joke, though, but okay.
The joke is just that blind whispering would be really bad with, like, the sixth sense or, like, a mystery. Because you'd have to be like, and memento would be really hard. Remember that thing that just happened? Well, it's happening again, but slightly different.
Or Inception.
You know, and I did a small, I did a small act out with it. Nobody cared. I had to let it go as a joke, as a bit.
Crocheting is just taking the yarn in one hand, in the other hand you have the hook, and you loop it, put it under, loop it, put it under. That's pretty much what the action is. And then obviously there's a plethora of stitches you can do. And then when making like an actual clothing, you have to also like sew with a yarn as well.
Okay. Sort of connect the, because what you're doing is are you just making a really thick piece of yarn with the hook and the circle and the hook and the circle? Is it just really, or is it loose?
It could be either or. It could be, grandma squares. A grandma square is crocheted. Like those grandma square blankets where they just like, it's a bunch of little squares that then create an entire blanket. That's crochet.
Like
so it could be really tight.
But just with yarn. I've seen
grams.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think you can do it with knitting too, but I don't know. Knitting community, don't come for me. But crocheting is way easier, in my opinion. I don't know if there's beef between knitting and crocheting.
Certainly not on the Dork Forest. We're positive in all ways and shapes.
Oh, great.
And weirdly enough, there is a picture of crocheting.
Yeah.
And that's not at all what I pictured.
Oh, yeah. That's a double stitch. Well,
that's
probably what you probably what you pictured was like links. Is that what you pictured?
I don't know. I think I was just picturing a stick.
A stick.
So like just sort of a piece of yarn that has been circled and circled and circled until it's just a big mess. And then you have to sew it together to make it. Like you're sort of like you're weaving, making cloth, but you're not because it has a pattern and it's very, very pretty.
Yeah. Like you were thinking of maybe felting.
Yeah, maybe.
Just, yeah. One Felting is cool. I would love, there's many a craft I would love to get into, but don't have the.
Right. Well, I don't
You should crochet. It's really easy.
I know. I don't want to. Thank you. But it's not what I, here's the thing about me and crafts is, it's hard enough for me to put together a vision board, which is what I did today here on December 28th. And I didn't make a vision board. I made a vision board list. So then I can go and make a board out of the things that I want next year, which is smart.
I don't even do vision boards. I mean, vision boarding is very crafty.
It is crafty. I did it for the first time during lockdown and I became, I was into it. I was into it because it, and it kind of helped. And I was talking to my friend, Maria about it and it kind of worked. I don't want it to be in the stand anymore, the microphone. So, but I think I wanted, with the vision board, I then told everybody what was on my vision board, which was a lot easier to come true when you tell people what you want.
Did it look good?
No, it didn't particularly look good. And there was a horse on it that I didn't get. But other than that, I got some voiceover work because I want to do more voiceover work. And it turns out if you tell people in the entertainment industry that you'd like to do something, they're like,
that makes sense.
Oh, Jackie wants to do that. Why don't I ask her if she wants to do that? And so I got to do I had one line, three words in a Bob's Burger episode.
I was just saying to my partner said right before this, why didn't you put Bob's Burgers on your list?
Well, and it's interesting because I've only seen like one or two episodes of Bob's Burger. I like animation, but I mostly like I like Miyazaki. Mm. And I like sort of epic anime, but cheerful.
Okay.
Like I don't like the Titan where the big people eat the little people.
Yeah, I don't like that. That one's very intense.
Scary. Yeah. It's intense, but it's gorgeous. And I get why people like it. So I'm supportive.
You like Ghibli Studios?
Yeah, that's Miyazaki. That's Ghibli. Okay. Yeah, and he has a new movie out that I want to see. But Bob's Burgers is like a sitcom in a cartoon, right?
Mm-hmm. I love any animation. Give it to me. I only want to watch animation, actually, for the rest of my life.
For all of it. All of your life. Have you watched any of Marvel's What If?
I haven't. I just caught up on Loki.
Okay.
But which I was know actually that's not animation. Much, but
it was better than the first season. I thought that the second season was so good.
It was so much better. At the beginning of the first season, I struggled. I was like, okay, Kate, just stay in it. Stay in it.
Stick it out. Yeah, because I really like those characters. So,
but no, I haven't, and I will go do that. I tend to just watch the same thing over and over, which is
interesting. That's like it's a toddler thing that started, I think, in the 90s when people were allowed to own VHS. Were you raised with VHS?
You froze for a second. What about VHS?
Were you raised with VHS?
Yes.
That is a common that age group who was raised with VHS will watch something repeatedly forever. And now, of course, also very easy because of digital.
Yeah.
But to the point where my nieces and nephews, if I remember correctly, would wear tapes out and they had to buy new tapes.
Oh, that's awesome.
My niece Emma loved Homeward Bound so much. And she called it Homeward Pound. She was 4. And
how old is she?
She's, I believe, 32 right now, maybe.
Okay, yeah, 33? I'm 31. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And I was babysitting for her and she wanted to watch it. So we watched it. And I love a dog. And I was crying because I thought Shadow wasn't going to make it over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this distinctly. She came over with her tiny, pudgy toddler hand and put it on my arm and said, "It's going to be okay, Jackie. He's coming.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I teared up. It made me cry all the more. Could I laugh? Oh,
that's too cute. Yeah. Yeah. I did the same. I rewatched. I loved The Lion King. I loved, this is crazy, but I loved Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat with Donny Osmond.
Oh.
On VHS. And nobody has that experience. I could say I'm probably the only person who rewatched that as a child a million times. But I
That's
loved
a lot.
It. Yeah. Yeah. I think Donny Osmond was my first crush, which is weird because I'm queer, but you know, whatever. Makes sense, maybe.
Right. But what are you going to do? He's also unattainable because he was famous, Donny Osmond. The guy was just a face full of teeth. And, it is weird that are you on the Wi-Fi? I wonder.
I am on the Wi-Fi, and I don't know why it keeps.
It freezes up a little bit.
I can disconnect and reconnect. Should I do that, or that's scary?
I would hate that. I would hate.
Okay,
that.
Let's not do that.
Let's see if we can. Isn't Adventure Time a cartoon?
It is a cartoon. Have you talked about it? Yes, on this podcast.
I think somebody maybe 10 years ago loved Adventure Time. I keep meaning there's so many TV shows I want to watch. SpongeBob is one of them. And
SpongeBob's great.
SpongeBob is great, but you know, ever since I stopped smoking pot, it's been very hard. And and I also wow, my chest with this strike tape is a little too much for me. I got to lean into the video.
I know. I don't know why it froze again.
No sweat. Tell me about Adventure Time. What the hell is it?
Adventure Time is a cartoon that I think was originally made for kids. It's not a Bob's Burgers. It wasn't made for adults. Okay. And it is post-apocalyptic. But
what?
Yeah, yeah. It's like post-nuclear war. but it was made for children, and it is, I think it was made for children. I could be wrong, but, it's never adult in any way. Like, it follows a young boy named Finn and his dog, Jake, who can talk and has magical powers, presumed because of the, you know, post-apocalyptic,
oh, right.
You know, nuclear.
So the ooze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That happens to be not the case. Sorry, spoiler alert. But and okay. You just follow them, and they have adventures. There's like different lands within. Anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
Are they supposedly on Earth?
Yes, they are on Earth.
And there's just the two of them, and they are sort of traveling.
They have a tree house, and their thing is that Finn, the young boy, just likes to do adventures and quests, and he's a hero. Like, that's his role in the show, is to be a hero.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So he's solving everyone's problems. There's like different quadrants. There's like the ice quadrant, the candy kingdom, the fire quadrant, and the slime kingdom. Those are the four kingdoms.
What kind of problems? As he solved.
I mean, there's a lot of bad guys in this world, Jackie.
Sure.
There's
why wouldn't there be?
A lot of bad guys.
It's I bet you it's a free for all.
Yeah, there's magical beings popping up left and right. There's okay. Vampires. There's bad things that have come from the ooze.
Okay.
And there's also his inner story of puberty and like fighting his own demons. And
he's got
it's
his
a
own
beautiful
demons.
Show. Yeah. It's
Is it?
A beautiful show. Yeah.
Did you ever do Steven's Universe or you?
Everyone keeps telling me to watch that. Steven Universe. Yeah.
I got to meet Rebecca Sugar and her brother, Steven, who okay. It is based on.
Oh.
And yeah, she likes her brother. And he was a really good big brother, I guess.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And yeah, and she was executive producer, and she wrote all the music for it. And she came on and she talked about, she didn't talk about Steven Universe. She talked about something else, which was fine because I don't necessarily It's not supposed to be an hour ad for the thing you're working on.
Right.
It's supposed to be what you like. And yeah. And Adventure Time, this sounds super cute. I wonder where it's streaming. I would like to watch at least a couple
HBO
of them.
HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max. Okay.
Yeah. It's good. And it's a pretty great show in that, like, yes, the characters build on each other and the episodes build on each other, but you could pluck one out and just be like, okay, because it's almost every episode is the same arc. It's like, there's something that he has to beat, he goes and beats it. Or if he doesn't, that happens in the next episode.
It might be a two episode, a cliffhanger.
Right. A cliffhanger. What,
and will Finn be able to fix it? Tune in next time.
Exactly. It's a great show. It's so magical. And it's like, for Halloween 2 years ago, my group of friends, we went as a bunch of characters from it. And it's like that kind of show where you could, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you could show up at a party and everyone would know who it was.
Yeah.
Everybody watched it.
My mom even came my mom has never watched it, but she was Peppermint Butler, who is this, like, who's the butler of the princess of the Candy Kingdom and is actually, like, satanic, but in a good way.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, she can't help where she grew up. It's not her fault that she grew up in hell. There's a very funny comic book series out right now called Dr. Strange's Academy or Strange Academy. And it's where all different, it's a high school for magic users in the Marvel universe. And one of them is Dormammu's son. And another one is Satan's son. And they're like, well, this is just where I grew up, man. It doesn't mean I have to use my powers for evil. And
what's it called?
It's called Strange Academy.
Okay.
It's Doctor Strange is the Dumbledore of that. And and some of it's really great, and some of it is very. It isn't focused enough, but on the whole, I'm on board. Plus, I do love a teenage superhero story, you know, because they're all going through.
So do
the change. Yes.
Oh, I love anything that has like a prequel where you can like watch. I get so excited for prequels because I want to watch them as children. I just like, I want that.
Did you see Wonka?
I was supposed to see it last week, but I got COVID. My dad saw it and he loved it.
My sister saw it and she loved it. So
you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it. I haven't seen anything since the Marvels, I think. And the new season of Jack Reacher.
I have never watched any of that. I think it's too upsetting for me.
Oh, it would be. If you don't want to see a guy the size of an actual gorilla pretend to break people in two, it's not really for you.
No, that's not for me. That's not for me.
I know, but my mother-in-laws both turned me onto it. And so I read about 10 of the books. And then there was a Tom Cruise version of the character. And he's 5'4", right? Or 5'5".
Yeah.
And in the book, the guy's like 6'5". And then they got this other guy to play who is 6'5". And he is doing a very, very good job of being a giant man with actually a pretty good, like sort of a nice whimsical sense of humor kind of to him.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I probably won't watch it, but.
He was never a wrestler, which is sort of the Rock kind of art.
He's not a John Cena. No John Cena, no Rock.
No John Cena, no Rock.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm not as enchanted by Timothée Chalamet as I think
now,
everyone
who
is.
He?
He's Wonka. Like to...
Oh, he's Wonka. There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't much like the book. I like Gene Wilder a fair bit, but the movie always kind of creeped me out a little bit.
I love that movie. Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I love Gene Wilder in it, but why were those old people all in that bed together? I never knew.
That's not in the book. That's in the book.
I'm sure it's in the book, but I'm still always going to be curious.
Did you read The Glass Elevator?
I didn't. I read a couple of other Roald Dahl ones though. The one where they where the guy lives in a trailer with his son, and they end up poaching all of the doves one night. And I can't remember the name of that one.
I have read so many Roald Dahl books, but I don't know that. That's a deep cut.
That is real B-side. Real B-side.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it.
I don't know.
I love Roald
Dahl. How was the glass elevator? Is the glass elevator a Willy Wonka one?
It's the sequel. And they go into space.
Do they go into space?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's little aliens and it's good. I mean, it probably would take like an hour to read right now.
Right. Right. Because it's adults. Very tiny and we're both adults. Yes. That would help. I don't know why I'm having a hard time getting comfortable in a chair that I've sat in for days, but I've decided to lean back in this one a lot. I, by the way, spilled an entire glass of coffee right before we did. And here's something. If there's no witnesses, there's no reason to get mad. There's no one to watch you be upset with yourself or anyone else. All you can do is go get a rag, clean it up.
That's true. When you do something like that by yourself, you just kind of go,
oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I need to.
Where if I would do that here and someone was home, I would go, oh.
Right, right. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm so sorry. It just, nobody cares. The dogs don't even care. I'm surrounded by small Chihuahua mixes. And I got this one. I got that one. And they're both really interested in bacon strips. They're out of luck. I've already given them theirs. So Adventure Time. What else? I'm thinking I want to do a cartoon, but I like the idea of Adventure Time being not Monster of the Week, but like Quest of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Where every episode is just somebody else has a problem. Let's go do this.
Yeah. What do you mean you want to do a cartoon? You want to start?
I have half an idea, and a friend of mine who writes pilots and does stuff like that is like, well, do you want to work on it? And I keep going, yes, and then not working on it. So she has, of course, been like, not asking me, you know, she can't right. make me have a career. But I want to do a cartoon about my video. I do a bit about when I was in junior high, I was the spooky reading girl. Uh-huh. I would always read as I walked around school. And the one time it sort of came to a head was when a smaller girl asked me to stand next to her while she got beat up after school. And I was like, why would that be something? And she said, you wouldn't have to fight. It would just be for moral support.
Because, wait, no, because
she didn't have anyone to stand with her. She didn't have any friends either. And I was like, well, that's probably what a friend in my book would do if I had any friends. And so I went and I stood next to her and the fight never happened because Vicky Embers was so creeped out.
Did you become friends?
No, 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 we didn't. We both went our separate ways.
She was like, that's all. Thank you.
That's all. Thank you very much. And I did it for two other girls, though, until finally Vicky Emberts and her bully friends, until Vicky Emberts said, well, I'm going to beat you up. I've had enough of you ruining my after school fights. And the boys were just watching. And one of the boys ripped my sweater accidentally because they kept pushing me back into the ring like it was a prison yard fight.
Where did you grow up?
In Wisconsin. It shouldn't have happened. But the boy accidentally ripped my sweater, and my sister and I just had the three sweaters for all of junior high. Oh, and so I lost my tiny lizard mind, and I jumped on top of this boy, and I just pushed him to the ground. And I started slamming his head against the ground, and they were pulling him. And I'm like, "You're killing him! You're killing him!" And
you're
I said,
killing him.
"Yes, yes, I am. I'm going to kill him." We just had the three sweaters, and then I told them that they all had to ignore me forever, and they did until Facebook was invented. So for a couple of decades is what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. What age was this?
I was 12 or 13.
Wow, that's a lot of fights.
It was, I never fought. I never fought until
but I mean,
was
just
picked
occurring.
On.
A lot of fights occurring.
It was, it was all girl fights in my junior high. Before and after, boys would fight. There would be fights. But when I grew up in a very blue collar town where somebody had to punch somebody at some point.
Wow.
For some reason. I don't know why. But I didn't. I never got in fights, except for when I was forced to get in a fight. And then, quite honestly, I was such a tiny psychopath that I was immediately left alone again.
Wow. Once, good for you.
Yeah. I was once these kids were like these three kids circled me and these two kids. We were biking and these boys, and they were like, I think 8, 7 and 10. And I was probably 13 or 14. And I was babysitting or I was watching them and we were on a bike ride and these boys came and they started pushing us around, the kids. And I picked up my bike and I beat up their bikes with my bike like a crazy person. Michael Tierney still talks about it. Michael Tierney, by the way, lead singer of Beatallica, a Beatles Metallica mashup band called Beatallica. And he sounds just like the lead singer from Metallica.
And he wrote a song about beating up bikes with your bike.
You know, but he does bring it up on the regular. Whenever I see him, he's like, remember that weird,
That's thing? Pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that awesome because I broke my bike. And then we had to get a ride home from.
Well, from that's true. That's true. I didn't think about the fact that it would also ruin your bike. To beat up people's bikes.
I was like, I will. And here's the thing about bikes a lot of people don't realize is if someone's harassing you and they're on a bike, they are more vulnerable because you are on foot because you can just grab them and throw them off of their bike. I used to have anger issues, Kate Nienhauser.
Yeah, I never been in a fight. Sad.
You guys should know that I haven't been, the person I've not been letting talk is Kate Nienhauser. Welcome to the program, Kate Nienhauser. She is Resist and Recover on TikTok. And that's the main thing you're on is TikTok.
Yep. That's the main thing I'm on. I mean, you can also find me at Kate Nienhauser on Instagram if you want, but it's just pictures of my dog.
which people are interested in.
True.
What do you do on TikTok? What do you watch on TikTok?
Well, on TikTok, my page is a queer / like eating disorder recovery page.
Oh, wow.
And I got really into it over COVID because what was there to do? And I gathered a very small following. And
and now made bigger by Rangers of the Dork Forest.
Thank you, guys.
Resist
Thank
and so recover.
Yeah, that was my, like, I should probably change that name, but I was, like, making YouTube content, and that was the name. Anyway, whatever. But TikTok is why I, like, came out. That's why I, like, love TikTok. Like, TikTok does have, in my opinion, legitimate communities.
Okay. Now, how do you find communities on TikTok? Is it with hashtags?
I think it just, like, algorithmically.
Oh, they
help you. It's like, especially if you're posting about it. I guess if you're posting and using certain hashtags, it'll probably direct that. I mean, you can search, but for
me,
I've
never made any dog TikToks, and yet TikTok knows that I would like to see dogs because you know how you show up and it's for you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
There's the following tab.
Yeah.
The for you tab is always adorable dog tricks.
It's great. Well, yeah, it's good. It will pick things up really fast. Like I have to watch TikTok for work and I had to like get off of my personal account on my work computer because TikTok picks up even on you just searching someone's account name. So like even though I wouldn't watch like many videos, it would like pick it up and then start showing me like sports content or like young I watch a lot of stuff for work about young parents in the Midwest content.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to see it.
Parenting tips or parenting don'ts.
Just life, just like life as a young parent. It's extremely popular niche that
popular
I would never
topic.
Have known about. It. Yeah.
Right. But there it is.
Yeah. Young to me is like a 25-year-old parent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that?
And That seems like a young parent to me.
Yeah.
My mother was 16 and there was no TikTok, but I don't think it would have been okay. I don't think it would have been okay to be posting about her young parenting.
Yeah, probably.
And her chain smoking and drinking beer and holding a baby on each hip. And would have been a terrible. Not that it wouldn't have gotten a lot of likes.
I was going to say, I feel like that is a way to get some attention.
Sure, sure. She was a very, very normal looking young Irish woman. So she would have got some looks.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So the things that you want to watch are not young parents on TikTok.
No. No.
So what are you watching? What is the algorithm throwing at you?
A lot of queer content. A lot of just like, yeah.
When you say queer, now is queer. Oh, hey, Grandma Cation. Let's let's just ask the questions that need to be asked and let the chips fall where they will. Is queer by definition? Would you say? And this, of course, it can be anything. But would you say that this is a sexual identity, or is it a gender identity, or is it both, or is it neither, or is it also just a human experience?
I think anyone who considers themselves queer, I guess. I consider queer LGBTQ+.
Kind of a sexual identity.
And then also, I guess also gender, you know, like non-conforming. Maybe anyone who's non-conforming to heteronormativity is queer.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, people would say that people were queer, and they meant the kind of outsidery.
Yeah.
So.
So that makes sense. Yeah. Now I guess we've reclaimed it, and I guess I've never. Well, I'm not going to say that.
Right. Not never.
Not
you can't say you've never done anything because you're still young.
True,
you still got time.
But I don't really know. I don't personally know any non-binary people who don't also identify in some way of queer sexually, if that makes sense. Because
my husband identifies as bisexual and I identify him as monogamous. So you may consider yourself bisexual, but I like to consider you as mine.
Yeah.
And we've agreed that,
you're married.
That we will be monogamous.
Oh, well, you can be married and non-monogamous, I guess, but you've, agreed. There's a trope as old as time that, you know, if you're bisexual, you're loose. Or not loose, but, you know, open or like
sort of
there's too many
open to a lot of things or.
Yeah, there's too many options. You're just going to, you know.
Yeah. There's people who kind of make fun of them who are like, you should pick a lane or you should do this or. And but the thing is, I mean, I think depending on who is the person who is bisexual. They're either attracted to they're attracted to the person inside the sausage casing.
Right.
You're just available to touch all of the parts because they like the person on the inside. I think
I 100% see that. There was a time when people were very upset about biphobia. I think that was like 5 years ago, maybe more, where it was like people were very invested in biphobia.
That they were worried that people were super judgmental about being bi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there was definitely there was a lot of comics who were making jokes about being bisexual, implying that it was just being greedy and all this stuff. And you're like, all right, unless you're going to write a great new joke about that. I do think that you could be bisexual and just be attracted to whoever you're attracted to in the moment. It just means you're.
And some people now use the term pansexual, which is really your definition was like spot on about like the sausage casing. And, pansexual is just like whatever you are, whether that be trans, non-binary, you know.
Right.
which I'm sure most bisexuals would also identify with either. So I'm not, I don't even know what I identify as, I guess just queer. So.
Right. Right now you are queer and you're like, just, it's fine.
I don't know. And, I probably
have a partner, so you're fine.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing. Exactly. It doesn't really matter because I like my partner. But I don't know. Anyway, this is a good question for me to ask a bisexual later.
Right. Right. And how we got there was queer content on TikTok.
Yes.
And, what is it? People making out? Is it people making art?
It's porn.
Is it, what is it?
It's people. It's honestly just people who are queer who make content. Who like, yes.
Who are doing anything. They're making doing lunch. Anything. They're painting something. They're talking about their favorite books.
Yeah. They're doing sketches or POV stuff or it's about their relationship. I love like watching, you know, queer relationships and.
Okay. Oh, they're just like, hey, we're having a day out. We happen to be queer.
Vlogging.
This is just normal vlogging, Instagram-ish.
Yeah, we're making a joke about, you know, what it's like to be a part of our little weirdo community or, you know.
All right. That kind of stuff. Like that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've hit almost the 40-minute mark. Oh, my God. Yes. What do you think's happening, Gordy? Tyson wants to go find out. Yeah? All right. Hey, Tyson, nobody cares. There you go. Okay, so I do love him, but sometimes he barks at the drop of a hat, and he'll drop that hat. So, but it's a nice palate cleanser. This would be a place, if there was an ad, this would be where I'd put it, right here. Let's make a little asterisk. Was there one? We'll find out later. Okay, so Kate Niehauser, it's at Resist and Recover on TikTok. And there's an entire episode of The Dork Forest about this, but I kind of just want to hear, and you said you're just playing it again, which is Stardew Valley, which seems to be some sort of lateral Animal Crossing, but not quite so. It's more, it sounds kind of more interesting or more long.
I was just about to say it's less boring. As someone who has played Animal Crossing, I feel like once you're done with Animal Crossing, you're done. But there are people who like do still play it and just like collect apples from a tree.
Right, right. And still and really commit. I played it during lockdown at Animal Crossing and I loved it for the time that I loved it. And then I was then now I'm done. Yeah.
Right. When it ended, like when the storyline ended, I didn't keep going. But I know people really love it and it's really comforting. It is in the same genre, the cozy game genre.
Okay.
So that I totally get. But like there's fighting in Stardew Valley.
Which is
something you would never find in Animal Crossing. Except for villagers having beef with each other and gossiping about each other. There's nothing like that in Animal Crossing. So yeah, there's fighting. You go into caves and you can fight ghosts, bats, slimes. We're bringing back the slime theme. Adventure Time and Stardew Valley both have slimes.
Oh, interesting. And you got to fight the good fight. You got to fight some slimes.
You got to fight some slimes.
So are you okay? So you go to Stardew Valley. You buy the game.
Which is like $5, by the way.
Oh, really?
It's
oh my
so
God.
Cheap. It was designed by one guy. One guy coded the entire game. And so like $6 or something stupidly cheap.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And what are you playing it on your computer?
I play it on my Switch, but you can play it on computer. And I think
you can play it on your Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone should buy this. Oh my God. It's such a good game because it has everything. Like you can farm, you take care of animals, you mine, you build stuff, you fight things. It's community, like, based.
Yeah, you got to go to town. You got to go to town. There's always a...
Yep.
The only thing I remember... You court and marry someone?
Yes. It's great. Sorry. The only thing you remember...
Oh, the only thing I remember is that there was always a yoga class, and you could always find... And the and the mayor was having carnal relations with somebody.
Yes.
And
yes,
neither one of them are married. Marnie.
Yes. Marnie and the mayor. Yes.
Are doing it. But they're adults and it was consensual. But for some reason, it's kind of gossipy. It's kind of
it's a secret. And I don't know. Mayor Lewis, they are both single. I will say Marnie does have two kids or one kid who's an alcoholic.
What?
Yeah. There's so many storylines.
Right. And it just keeps. Is it still being added to? Like it's the one guy?
I think so. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, there's updates.
Well. It's color me interested.
Yeah. Like literally so good.
Do you make your character? You can make. Do you, yeah. Are you? Okay. What is your character? What is your character?
My character's name is Maya. And the name that I was between Maya and Kate for my name. So Maya is my name. And like my parents would have chosen Maya. And then she has green hair. So I guess she kind of looks like She-Hulk. And I have a dog. You get to choose between a dog and a cat.
Okay.
And I'm a farmer. Okay. Right. You get to choose different like paths.
You get to choose your job?
You get to choose where your like points are going toward. So like once you get to a far enough level in farming, you get to choose if you're going to focus more on like livestock or food.
Plants.
You know. Yeah, plants. And I love plants, so I chose plants. But the side stories are endless. Like the crazy stuff that this guy has come up with. Like there's like it depends on who you choose to marry. And this is also one of the ways I realized that I was gay, that I like left, that I was like fully queer, that I left a relationship with a man because I was so excited.
In Stardew.
Yeah.
In Stardew Valley.
No, in real life, it was affected by Stardew. Like real life was... In real life, Kate, not Maya.
Right.
In real life, Kate was playing Stardew Valley and was like, oh, I can make a girl my partner in this game with this girl with purple hair. And then I married her and I was so excited about it in the game. I was so, and I was like, why am I so stoked? And I literally was like, I have to keep this a secret from my boyfriend.
Oh,
that's
no.
how much it like affected me. So it helped me to, you know, I credit Stardew.
Yeah. Yeah. It made you aware of what you could do. So but do you have to start as a farmer?
Yeah, you start. So their whole storyline is that You're living this big hot shot city life and you get kind of burnt
Hallmark
out.
Christmas movie.
Kind of. You get burnt out and your grandpa dies and he gives you his farm.
Okay.
And you go to his farm and then you have to decide also there's like in this small, cute little town, someone is building a like Walmart essentially.
Oh,
and you have to decide if you're going to stay on the farm or go work for this Walmart. I don't know. I was reading a Reddit forum and some people have done the Walmart version just like for shits and gigs. And they say it's horrible. Don't do it. And I was like, oh, I was never going to do that anyway. All right. And then you like start cleaning up the farm and then, you know, you're fishing, you're mining, you're.
Okay. So you're gathering wealth so that you can go buy things at stores and stuff, essentially?
Yeah, I guess so you can buy stuff.
How do you level up?
I think you're just, there's just a lot of side missions. You're gathering.
Okay.
I'm saving up right now for something, but I don't know if I got disconnected, but.
You did.
Oh, great.
As far as I could tell, you're still a go.
Yeah.
So you have this farm and then you have goods and services and then you go into town. Why would you go to town besides one of the missions is, let's say an early mission when you have to leave your farm?
Yeah, an early mission is, you have to go to town in the beginning to get seeds anyway.
Okay. And that's when you start meeting people.
That's when you start meeting people. Some early missions are like, Demetrius really wants a peach. you know, he'll give you 250 coins if you get him a peach. And you want to like grow your backpack. And the biggest thing in the beginning is their community center is dilapidated. And you need to refurbish the community center.
And to build, because that's where the community needs to gather.
Except yes. No one gathers there after.
After you fixed it up.
After you fix it, you just win all the prizes. Everyone gathers at the saloon, really, is where they gather.
That's where they gather. How about the yoga studio? Is there there's a yoga studio, if I remember correctly.
Well, there's no yoga studio, but there's like a workout dance yoga class every Wednesday at Robin's
it's
house.
A little freezy.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay.
I can, but what I missed if you talked about the yoga studio.
I did. There's a yoga dance, whatever workout class every Wednesday or Tuesday at Robin's house.
And it's all in real time, right? You have to show up if
like
you want to play that day.
It's like
was it like Sims?
In
I
that
never
way
played
where...
Sims, though. Tracy Ashley episode of The Sims, an excellent episode. Early dork
love
for
the
us,
Sims.
Everybody. That's when I learned about in-game purchasing, because she told me that she bought a fish tank, and I was like, for your house with some sort of coins or something. She was like. No, with money, Jackie. I gave them $2 and they gave me a very nice fish tank.
Oh, that I didn't know about The Sims.
Is there in-game purchasing in Stardew?
No, no. Also,
that's
like,
awesome.
It's pixelated, like 2-bit.
It's just a thing.
Kind of. I lost you. I know. It was like 2-bit pixelated type of thing, but there's no in-game purchasing in Stardew. To my knowledge.
That's so great.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
So
but
great.
You know,
he just wants
to
play.
I've never done in-game purchasing on Sims. And I used to play Sims all the time.
Right. You don't have to do it.
Right.
You only if you really want the bling. If you would like the fanciest thing.
Got it.
You can it. Spend. Yes.
Was and... she? I got to listen to this episode because I got to know if she was the type of Sims player where she wanted to build the really pretty houses or she wanted to just like... control lives. Those are two.
Oh, I believe she wanted the fancy house.
Yeah. I wasn't in it for the house. I was in it for the controlling of lives and popping out babies.
You are a god.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted them to have a lot of babies.
Aw.
And,
when I learned that you could kill people in The Sims,
yeah,
I was like, well, I don't want to play that game. I think because I was suspicious that I would end up being a psychopath and killing people. This is what we learn. This is what we learn at the Dork Forest is that I got into fights in junior high. And I don't want
to
play The Sims.
It's kind of hard to kill someone in The Sims. Like, you have to make an effort.
Right. So here's my question about Stardew and fights.
Yeah.
How do you, can you fight from the beginning or do you have to build up and then go look for a game?
You get a wooden sword at very early on and then you're exploring in the caves and you work your way up. It's not necessary, but it's pretty essential to the game. My friend who is an Animal Crossing person refuses to fight in the game, like refuses to go and mine. She just like goes and buys the metal that she needs as opposed to going into the caves. Because she doesn't like fighting. It stresses her out too much.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Then don't. Yeah, then
so
don't.
So she doesn't. So you can survive without fighting.
Okay. And then you can live your life completely. So how deep into the game do you have to be to get married?
You don't have to be very deep. You can prioritize it. You just have to build up that relationship with your partner. Buy the floral bouquet from the... and then once you've given the floral bouquet, go to the beach when it's raining and go to the creepy man.
Why is that romantic?
And get a mermaid shell or necklace and give it to them. And that's how you propose.
Do you know that Andy proposed? He wanted to propose underneath our orange tree. And so he had hung all these beautiful lights, these tea lights that had lit them. And then one of our friends showed up. And he was like, excuse me, I have to go do something in the backyard really fast. And he had to go put them all out. And so the next day he proposed at the scene of our first date.
Where was that?
Nat's Early Bite on Hazeltine in Burbank. It's a diner.
Cute.
He took me to breakfast, and at the end of breakfast, he said, I have something I want to ask you. And I thought he was kidding about something, so I threatened him with a spoon, and he took the spoon away, and he said, nope. Nope. Time for serious talk. And I would like to ask you, would you like to get married? And I was like, what? And then I said yes. And
it was a total surprise?
Not a total surprise, but kind of a total surprise, only because I'm a little oblivious. So we had been living together. We'd been together for like 2 years, and we had lived together for about 6 months.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit longer. But when we moved in together, I had just met his entire family, and all of them asked when we were getting married, and I didn't know anything about relationships. And this is my first real boyfriend. Uh-huh. So I said to him, we were sitting on our couch, we had just moved in together, and I said, Andy, you ever think about the future? That's as close as I could come to ask. And he looked at me, and he told me later he knew exactly what I meant. But he said, you mean like having a 30-year mortgage with somebody? And I said, oh, right. Never mind.
No.
And at the time, he was having the engagement ring made.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I've never worn it. It doesn't mean it isn't very nice. It just means I would prefer just the band.
Yeah. Well, because that's what I didn't know that people talked about engagement. And I don't know, people went to pick out a ring with their person.
Together.
Yeah. And then was like, what? You proposed? Crazy.
Right. You would think. And right. It would probably be better to propose and then go shopping for a ring together, because it's got a raised diamond chip or something on it, or diamond or whatever's. Yeah. I haven't looked at it in a decade. Because I told him I didn't want an engagement ring. I would like a flat screen television. Yes. I was like, I will break or lose the ring. And I swear to God, the stone was raised. And within the first week and a half, I broke it. I knocked the ring out of it. And so we had to get it fixed. Yeah, I did. And so since then, I've always just worn the band, the wedding band. And we got new wedding bands during lockdown. They glow in the dark.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, we're a simple nerds.
I love that.
Very nice. But Stardew, so do you pick out the ring in Stardew Valley or?
No, you only get the option of giving this, I think it's a mermaid necklace. It's a necklace or something like that, that you get from this weird guy at the beach who only shows up when it's raining. And
I was
so excited when she said yes. I wish that I could have played video games before the internet.
Okay.
Because I can look things up now. I try not to. I really try.
Right. The walkthrough, it's a bit of a cheat.
I just try not to look at, like, because in Stardew Valley, people have favorite gifts. People have, like, when you give them things, it will either be neutral, negative to your relationship, or positive to your relationship.
So you just, if you look it up, you're like, oh, he's actually allergic to peanuts. Don't give him peanuts.
Exactly. Yeah. This girl, my wife, there's a glitch where my wife likes, thinks that quartz crystals are food. And the guy, people fell in love with that. So the guy never changed it. Like, he could have updated the game, but people fell in love with the fact that she was like, wow, thank you. You knew I was so hungry. Whenever you give her quartz.
Wow. That actually feels like a real relationship. In that case, Kate, what you should know is that we're almost essentially, with all the other stuff that happens, we're at an hour. This is it.
Gorgeous.
It was very fun. Yay. I talked a lot, but that's always a sign. You wanted to hear. It's always a sign I'm having a really good time. When I'm like, no, like me. Anyway, it's Kate Nienhauser, who I don't get to hang out with enough. And it's at Resist and Recover on TikTok. And it's probably Kate Nienhauser on Instagram if you want to see a picture of her dog.
Sure is.
Thank you so much for being on the program, Kate.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, 2024 has begun with a bang because it's Kate Nienhauser.
We're speaking into the future.
It's true. We are. Because right now, it's 2 days before 23 is over. And 24, right around the corner. Kate Nienhauser, who doesn't really... her Instagram is about her dogs.
Okay.
Very cool. So people, if you want to go to Kate Nienhauser...
You like dogs.
I do like dogs.
We like dogs.
And we like dogs. And then her... what I'm saying is she's not a stand-up comic. She's just a she's a person. Not even just a person. She's an extraordinary young woman. Young person who might be a they, them. I'm wrong. So whatever it is, I've.
You're going to dig out of this one, right? You want to try again?
Nope. I'm leaving it. Do you know why? Because why not? Because here's the other thing. Throughout the entire show, first of all, she wanted to talk about, crochet.
Oh, okay.
Versus macrame, which I had mixed them up.
I do too.
And so we moved forward.
There are hooks and needles.
Hooks, needles, and some of them no needles, just weaving with your phalanges.
With the phalanges?
Yeah, weird. Dancing phalanges. And macrame might be the one that is just crochet is one needle, knitting is two needles.
Okay.
And
one of them has a hook.
Right, the hook is the crochet. Needle with a hook.
A needle with a hook. Okay.
And that hook is that she's from New York. No, I don't know what that would be like a hook.
So anyway, what does she love about this yarn work?
Well, the problem was, is I got caught in the weeds about those different things. So she just likes it. And that's where we left it. And then we pulled And then we pulled a lateral move where she was talking about Stardew Valley. Remember that video game?
Yeah, of course I do.
And it was how Stardew Valley was how she got the guts to come out as queer.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yes, because she got to, you have to get married.
Right.
If you want to get anywhere in Stardew Valley.
Right.
You need a partner.
You need a partner. And it turns out. You can't run this farm by yourself.
No, and I guess, and here's how you propose. You go when it's raining, and the guy who has the flowers that you will give to you, the person you want to get married to, only is out at the beach when it rains. So you pick someone. So that is something in the game. That is one of the...
So that's the only person who's going to say yes is if you happen to meet them on the beach in the rain?
No, not the person who's going to say yes. The shaman or the person who will give you the item that will allow you to be able to ask your chosen person. They come out of the sea. I believe this guy comes out of the sea.
Right, when it's raining, because he has to keep his skin moist.
I don't know. But then he hands you a bouquet of flowers. And here's what Kate found out is that she picked a woman partner, and she was so excited about it. She kind of kept it a secret from her boyfriend. And she was like, why are you doing that? And they had been having problems anyway. And so then she broke up and then she was alone for a year. And now she has a new partner and it is a woman.
Oh, okay.
So it all
worked
out.
Good for her. I'll tell you this, that my years of gaming, role-playing games, has allowed me to try on a lot of different shoes and hats, right?
Right. You've always taught me that about D&D, and then later about other RPGs.
Yeah, particularly the live role-playing game stuff where you can you can really put on different hats and try on different personality types and decide.
You can literally
put on
different hats.
Yeah, literally. And see how it feels.
Yeah.
Right. So, you can do that, I guess, in all kinds of games.
Yeah. To give you an option of that is such a cool.
I think it's one of the great benefits of role-playing games.
Yeah.
And games in general, I guess. You can just try things in a safe space of the game. And go, is this the way I want to be?
Right. And she was talking about how she also, because remember, there is a previous episode about Stardew Valley where I learned all about the gossip and the community. And then I also learned that Stardew Valley is dirt cheap, $5 on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
written by one
guy. It's been around for a long while.
And never written by anybody else.
Oh.
Just one guy just doing it.
One guy did it, all of it. That's amazing.
Right. And he's adding to it at all times.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but that was her impression.
Okay.
So people might want to look into that. But this was a great episode. I mean, we're at the end of it, so you listen to it. But at one point, I had to ask for a definition of queer, and I said, Grammication has a real question, and what it all means. And
I think it's important because, you know, even if you know, there might be a listener who would like to know.
Oh, and I don't remember. She explained it. So it was something about, I was like, is it just sexuality or is it also gender? To describe yourself as queer.
Right.
And then she said, well, I would say it's all of it. Either of it. Some of it.
I'd say it's pretty all of it.
Yeah. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. And I think queer is the greatest umbrella.
Right. It opens it up to, if you feel sort of outside of some sort of normality of what is denoted as normality.
Right.
You call yourself queer. And then look who you can hang out with. Everybody.
Right. Pretty much everybody. Yeah. We're all a little queer.
We're all a little queer. That's what I was told in stand-up comedy from 1984 on.
So coincidentally, your sister-in-law sent me a link to a book, a recently written book that said that all that's
Russ's
really
wife.
Darla's.
Darla's wife. Yes.
Sent me this text about a book called "Video Games Have Always Been Queer."
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So
New York University Press. Video games have always been queer. Yeah.
Well, that is kind of amazing and serendipitous.
Yeah.
Sam Crosby. She's great.
Yes, she is.
You guys, I would like to have Sam Crosby. You stare
at
your phone.
Look at the top of my head.
Oh my gosh. It's been a great bonus with Andy Ashcraft. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?